Whoa, like, what exactly is happening here?
89.7 WTBR-FM Pittsfield.
The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
You're listening to The Talk. Talk radio for the masses. Here on WTBR-FM 89.7. And now, let's talk. And it's Wednesday, and you know what that means.
Time for The Talk, AEW.
And time for pictures. Hey, here we are.
Ooh, pictures.
Pictures.
Why do we need to scare people?
Well, because it's our job.
Scare people?
Yeah. You did not know that?
No.
That's our job.
Well, darn.
All right. So, today, since this should have been done a while ago, but we were doing another show, so we couldn't do it. Friday, Carrie Fisher got her star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Yay, Carrie.
After, it's been, what, since a year since her death?
Beyond a year. And you need to wake up and figure that one out.
Billy Bird was there, dressed with a dress that has, or Billy Lord was there, a dress that has Carrie Fisher's picture on it, along with Mark Hamill.
Yes.
And who else was there? R2-D2 and C-3PO.
Aww.
Offer to catch in on Carrie's star on the Walk of Fame. So there it is. She is just down the street from Mark Hamill, who has a star on the Walk of Fame, and across the street from her mother, Debbie Reynolds.
Oh, that's nice.
So most of this episode will go to be about Carrie, and some of it will be about the current debacle going on at Disney over the next set of films. We got quiet. Silence.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're trying to go ahead and put this, what, so far in the future? Then you got one person that got fired because he wanted to do like 60 years after the events of Brick and Rise Skywalker.
Right. Well,
that's just crazy.
Let's start from the beginning. They hire Daisy Ridley.
Oh, of course.
To reprise her role as Rey. There's Daisy. Yeah. But then the guy who wrote this thing wanted to do it 67 years beyond The Rise of Skywalker.
67 years, really?
Which would make Daisy Ridley an old woman.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So Kathleen Kennedy, who you'll see in a few minutes as I play something.
Apparently Luke wants to say hello to everybody
Luke
in the back.
Apparently wants to say hello, too. But Kathleen Kennedy stepped in and fired this guy and said, no, we can't do that. We'll do 15 years past The Rise of Skywalker. We can do 15 years.
15, yeah.
Instead of 60 years or whatever it is. But here's the main debacle. They hire Daisy Ridley to revise her role as Rey and not make her the main lead.
No, she's a support lead, which is, she's support, or the supported actress, which kind of makes me go, who the heck are they getting for the lead?
Helen Mirren.
Really?
I don't have a picture of Helen Mirren, but apparently Helen Mirren is going to be the lead in this film.
Why? That's what I want to know. Why?
That's what we all want
to
know.
It has nothing to do with, I don't know. Personally, I'm not really, really happy right now with them anyway. I mean, they're going ahead and redoing Grease, which was totally retarded. We all got all the odds the very first doggone time when the first movie came out. You didn't have to go ahead and go through it and tell us exactly every meaning of the movie. Those who are Grease fans know exactly what it was.
Well, yeah, I mean, what she's talking about is the Rise of the Pink Ladies thing, which is kind of redundant. We don't need to know how the Pink Ladies started.
Well,
all we know is they were the T-Birds chicks. That's about it.
Well, okay, but, you know, let's think about this. We went through episode 4, 5, and 6 of Star Wars.
Yes.
And Obi-Wan pretty much told us what happened with Anakin.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
So, George Lucas goes ahead and makes 1, 2, and 3. Or, yeah, 1, 2, and 3. The sequels. And give us 3 movies about what was told to us in Star Wars Empire and Return.
Exactly.
So we can kind of relate to that.
Yeah. We kind of knew what it was, but we didn't know too much into it. And you know how people are. They're like, well, that's sort of like sitting there reading the dust jackets of a book and not knowing what fully happened in order to get to where you came up with everything. So.
And speaking of Return, they re-released Return of the Jedi into the theaters. It has made the top 5 in box office 40 years after its release.
Do we know who else was on that list at the time? Or of the movies being let out? Is that for this time, this generation?
This is for this generation. It was released like a month ago.
Okay.
And it went into the top 5.
Yeah, I'm talking about, was it the movies that are already at the theater, or was it just for the...
No, it was just a re-release of the original Return of the Jedi into the theaters.
Yeah, that's what I know. I know that's what they did. Because they managed to go ahead and do that. And this coming up weekend, they're releasing Grease again in the movie theaters. So, guaranteed to go ahead and once again spank the audience a little bit.
All right, before we get too far, we got a little bit of business to take care of here. Eatsa Pizza is coming. Make your plans to be at the Berkshire Hills Country Club on May 18th at 6 p.m. and sample pizza from some of the best pizza places in the Berkshires. There will be drawings, a 360 video booth, music, and of course lots of pizza. Eatsa Pizza features pizza from Anna's Pizza, Locker Room, Zuko's Family Restaurant. For more details about the event or to get your tickets, go to pittsfieldtv.org/pizza. Support for Eatsa Pizza comes from Berkshire Community College. So now we got business out of the way.
Yeah, that's true.
So
we had to go ahead and get, you know, business out of the way and announce that, I think it'd be pretty good.
Yeah. So everybody go to Eatsa Pizza, Berkshire Hills Country Club, and have some pizza.
Yes.
So
choose which ones you like.
And I heard through the grapevine that John Ferrara, who, if you remember, played Pete Becker on Friends.
Yes.
He's also the one behind The Mandalorian, Ahsoka, and a lot of the Star Wars Book of Fett and those series going on like that.
Yeah.
he's gotten so much stroke with Lucasfilms that there's rumors around that he's going, and I think Return of the Jedi was first of this, he was going to re-release the first three films, the trilogy, in the original theatrical releases. Not the updated stuff that George Lucas did, but the original theatrical releases before Star Wars was A New Hope and had a number on it.
Yeah, that was the idea. And said, so Mom said, so you know, it was going up against movies like Guardian of the Galaxy, the other Scream movie, and I forget what other.
I think Return of the Jedi knocked Guardians of the Galaxy out of its spot. Yeah. Who would you rather see, Mark Hamill or Batista?
I'd rather see Mark Hamill.
Carrie Fisher or Batista?
Carrie Fisher.
You know?
But
Harrison Ford or the little fox?
As a raccoon.
Or a raccoon or whatever it was.
But seriously, I'm sorry. I'm a Leia fan. Always have been, always will be. I'd rather go ahead and see Carrie Fisher than go to Guardians of the Galaxy.
And I wanted to play this little clip because, like I said, we were doing another show when Carrie Fisher actually passed a year ago or so. So I found this clip and I figured
more
this,
like 5 years ago, man.
Okay. I'm sorry.
You're cool. You're good.
You want to finish this? So we're gonna play this clip, and I think it's kind of cool. So.
And that of working with the late, truly great Carrie Fisher. She was unlike anyone you've known, unlike anyone in this room. Her humor, her insight, her brilliance. When you associate Princess Leia, you realize that was Carrie. She was not only be remembered forever by those who were lucky enough to know her, but she will be remembered forever, even by those who are not old enough yet to say the words, "May the Force be with you." Someone who has known Carrie her entire life, whose world has revolved around Star Wars and is uniquely suited to give us wonderful insight on this remarkable woman, is her daughter, Billie.
My mom used to say she never knew where Princess Leia ended and Carrie Fisher began. She went from being an unknown actress, the daughter of Debbie Reynolds and Eddie Fisher, to Princess Leia, a character synonymous with the idea of the ultimate strong woman, a soldier, a fighter, a beyond capable, independent, sensible woman in control of her own destiny, a rebel who resisted the norm. She was imperfect in many ways, but her imperfections and willingness to speak about them are what made her more than perfect. My mom, like Leia, wasn't ever afraid to speak her mind and say things that might have made most people uncomfortable, but not me and not you. That was why she loved you, because you accepted and embraced all of her, the strong soldier of a woman she was, and also the vulnerable side of her, who often openly fought her own dark side, knowing early on that we all have a dark side of our own, whatever it may be. But she knew that it wasn't about the fight that you were fighting, but how you fought it, the way you resisted. No one could have known what this once little dream of a movie would eventually become, and what it would mean to millions worldwide, mostly not her. But in our world, Star Wars ultimately became our religion, our family, and our way of life. And I wanted to be here with all of you because I know that many of you feel the same way. When she surrounded herself with fans at celebrations like this, she never felt more at home. She could spend hours talking to people and learning about their lives and how Star Wars and Leia touched them the same way it touched us. If left to her own devices, she would have always been the last person to leave the convention center, having met and had a shared Carrie moment with every single person there. Nothing about her was a performance. She loved you. She loved these movies. She loved the people she got to make them with, and she loved this incredible character she got to create, this force called Leia. She taught me three important things. One thing all mothers should teach their daughters. General Kenobi, years ago you served my father in the Clone Wars. Now he begs you to help him in his struggle against the Empire. I regret that I am unable to present my father's request to you in person, but my ship has fallen under attack, and I'm afraid my mission to bring you to Alderaan has failed. I have placed information vital to the survival of the Rebellion into the memory systems of this R2 unit. My father will know how to retrieve it. You must see this droid safely delivered to him on Alderaan. This is our most desperate hour. Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope. Secondly, she taught me that if life isn't funny, then it's just true, and that is unacceptable. I learned by knowing her that the most evolved person is seemingly a contradiction. They are both the strongest and the most vulnerable person in the room. And that was her. That is Leia. Thank you for loving her and carrying on what she stands for. I'm beyond grateful.
All right, so we hope you enjoyed that.
Well, of course, you have to go ahead and be taught the monologue from Princess Leia. I mean, come on now.
Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope.
Exactly.
So let's get back to the Rey thing.
Okay.
Why, after you spend three movies using Daisy Ridley as one of the leads in the films, you go and you do another set of films where you're just going to have Daisy Ridley, who's already a Star Wars veteran, be a supporting cast member, and you have Helen Mirren, who probably his closest she got to Star Wars is watching it in the theaters, to actually be the star of the show.
Because cash cow.
Yeah,
are you kidding?
Daisy Ridley is more of a cash cow than Helen Mirren.
That's why, Darren. That's why any mention of Daisy in there will go ahead and bring people in to come see the darn thing.
Uh-huh.
Just like having Harrison and Mark and Carrie in the sequel trilogies.
Right. Okay, but then you forget the other part of this, which is they hired John Boyega.
Yeah.
Who played Finn.
Yeah.
So if Daisy Ridley...
John actually decided to go ahead and say, yeah, sure.
If Rey is going to be a supporting cast member, where's that leave Finn?
Yeah, I know. And then one of the problems that he had with Disney is that they use him as, you know, support.
Maybe Finn will get his wish of what he wanted during the sequels, because what you're alluding to is that Finn wanted to have the love interest with Daisy Ridley,
yeah,
and they didn't do that. Mm-hmm. So maybe this time Finn will be the love interest for Rey.
Well, you kind of can't go ahead and bring her other love interest back. He's kind of dead, man.
Okay, yeah, which reminds me, I'm glad you brought this up. There was scuttlebutt going around that Kathleen Kennedy, because of the mistakes that were made
yeah.
on Force Awakens last Jedi and The Rise of Skywalker, that they wanted to reshoot those films.
Yeah, I know.
So, okay, yeah. you can do CGI and use all the footage from these from the first three for Carrie Fisher. You can get Harrison Ford's not coming back.
Oh, no.
He only came back because I think you said something about the only reason why he came back in Rise of Skywalker because he owed it to Adam Driver.
Yes. That is literally, if you go ahead and look it up, that's the only reason why he agreed to it was because of Adam and how good of an actor Harrison went ahead and agreed that he is and that his character needed a closure of that part.
Alright, so
from Han.
So you're not going to get,
for his redemption,
you're not going to get Harrison Ford to come back unless you offer him a buttload full of money, apparently.
Yep.
You've got Daisy Ridley signed. You've got John Boyega signed. Oscar Isaac, who played Poe, said he's not doing another Star Wars film, and I quote, unless I need another house. So I guess Poe is out of the question. What's Kelly Marie Tran been doing since Star Wars? Nothing. She could probably sign back on.
Kelly's been doing her part in the Lego Star Wars, actually.
Okay, so you might get Kelly Marie Tran back.
Yeah.
Mark Hamill was ticked off because of the way his character got treated by Rain in The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
If they want to redo the movies, I'm sure Mark Hamill will jump on that. You know, like Weird Al Yankovic said, you're playing these movies till you're old and gray.
Yeah.
Long-term contract he had to sign. Who else are we missing? Billy Dee Williams will probably come back.
All you have to do is just go ahead and say, hey, we need you for Lando. I'm pretty sure he'll say yes.
C-3PO will come back.
Yeah.
Anthony Daniels. He's been playing. I think he is officially the only Star Wars character to be in every live-action film that required him.
Actually, yes. Any live-action film and any series that required him, Sir Anthony Daniels has been in it.
So, and then you can possibly get Ian McDiarmid back.
Oh, yeah. All you have to say is, hey, for some reason, Palpatine has returned.
Again.
He'll come back and go ahead and go, yeah, sure, let me go ahead and be the undead raisin. I'm sorry, that dude looks like an undead raisin. I'm sorry.
The undead raisin.
he looks like an undead raisin.
He does.
So
I haven't seen the hands that they decided to do. It looked like, need a lot of moisturizer.
So let me ask you guys this. Do you think that Disney has gone way too far with all the Star Wars series?
I personally do. I mean, I can see doing movies, but having an explanation for every minute that the series in the series.
Well, let's take this step by step.
It's just going too far.
Let's take this. Who really cares? I mean, even the hardcore Star Wars fans like yours truly, who really cares what Obi-Wan Kenobi did before or after
Revenge of the Sith.
After Revenge of the Sith and before he croaked in Star Wars.
Oh,
we got the gist that he watched Luke grow up.
Yeah.
We got that.
You can see it through from the first two films that he did this.
Right. So, does it really matter what Obi-Wan did in those 20-plus years or something between Revenge of the Sith and A New Hope?
Not really.
Nope.
And just like the Ahsoka series that's coming up with Roxanne Dawson. Most of that was covered in the animated Clone Wars.
Yeah, I mean, we get the idea, and then she was, you know, kicked out of the order because they accused her of murder.
Right. Well, the Clone Wars brought it right up to Anakin turning into Darth Vader.
Yeah, the Revenge of the Sith.
So, you know, and then you see Ahsoka, if you watch The Mandalorian, you've seen Ahsoka bring Grogu up to Luke Skywalker.
Yeah, and people were wondering, the thing is that led to that was they wanted to know how come Ahsoka was able to know Luke if she has never met Luke. She found out later and knew Padme was pregnant.
Right, but and then they have the
it's
bad
not that hard.
Then you have the bad bunch, which I just read about, which is gonna because there's a big question that loomed after the Rise of Skywalker is how did Palpatine come back?
Oh yeah.
After Darth Vader tosses him into the void.
Yeah.
So now the bad bunch in their final season on Disney Plus is going to take you through the cloning and see how the cloning actually happened to bring Palpatine back.
I mean, it's not that hard to figure out. All you had to do was look at the second one, which was Attack of the Clones. And you knew that they had a cloning problem, that they had a cloning process and a cloning place at that planet. I mean, come on now.
What they probably did is they went ahead, got him out of the chamber, threw water on him, and poof, there it was.
Poof.
Giant raisin was brought back to life.
Freeze-dried Emperor Palpatine. Get your own Emperor Palpatine. Just add water. There's some merchandising for Star Wars.
I'm sorry, but have you ever
It'd
seen
be like a chia pet. Chia. Get your Emperor Palpatine chia pet. Just add water and watch Palpatine grow before your eyes.
I mean, look at him in Revenge of the Sith. I mean, this man's face looks like a freaking raisin. I mean, come on now.
It does.
I'm sorry. They made the Emperor look like a raisin, okay?
Well, yeah, we figure, you know, Ian McDiarmid, who's played, you know, Palpatine and Darth Sidious, whatever, since Empire Strikes Back, basically.
Yeah.
So it's not like they get younger doing this, even with the best Hollywood makeup.
No, seriously.
I think Ian McDiarmid looked pretty good in, he looked really good for his age. Well, in Attack of the Clones. I mean, he looks actually better in Attack of the Clones than he did in The Empire Strikes Back, and that was 30 years between the films.
I'm sorry, without Palpatine, without the makeup for Palpatine, yeah, I admit, he looks good for his age. I mean, I'll admit that. Ian looks really, really well for his age. I mean, come on now. But seriously, with the makeup on and the fact that they have to add wrinkles and everything, and the eyes,
he looks like a raisin. I don't think they had to add too many wrinkles. I think Mother Nature took care of that on its own.
Yeah, well, what can you say? Can't trust Hollywood to do everything.
All right, so we got about a minute left, so maybe next week we'll actually be back in the studio. But it's fun doing it on here now.
Maybe.
I have the ability to kind of throw clips in and do special things. But we have a special close that we're going to do for today.
Okay. Have a good one, folks.
So we'll see you
Take care.
Next week.